I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on Intelligent Talk, 1170 KCBQ, and archived on TVTimeMachine.com.
I wanna be all grown up, all grown up. I can't wait till I'm all grown up.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're about to embark on a journey through a vast galaxy that traverses memory, generations, and popular culture. A magical trip through time as we meet the men and women of yesterday and today who have shaped not only what we see on TV, but the way we see ourselves. I'm Jim Benson. Join me, if you will, on an exploration of television's past, present, and future as we climb aboard the TV Time Machine. In this special Mother's Day edition of our program, our destination subject today is the history of a man, his mom, and the thousands of altogether insane letters she's mailed to him. Entertainer, composer, singer-songwriter, and author of the new book, Smother, Adam Chester, will join us to help navigate this particular excursion celebrating all the moms out there, both past and present. We'll begin our exciting and fun-filled odyssey right after these brief messages. Today on the TV Time Machine, we'll take a little detour with our magical transport and explore a unique family love story. We, all of us, would not be here were it not for our beloved mothers. However, sometimes a mother's love can manifest itself in such ineffable possessiveness, it can only be understood by reading our very special guest's book. On this edition of our program, we are pleased to welcome Adam Chester, entertainer, composer, singer-songwriter, and author of the new book, Smother, the story of a man, his mom, and the thousands of altogether insane letters she's mailed him. Mr. Chester has provided his musical talents to a wide variety of media and is the official surrogate Elton John, sitting in as the great musician while rehearsing the Elton John Band for various concerts and appearances. Over the next few segments, Adam and I will pore over 30 years of his mother's loving but insane letters, which provided the inspiration for his hilarious new book, not to mention the need for ever more intense therapy. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to dry the dishes, feel free to get a tetanus shot as we slip from the restraints of the present and enter a smothering past. Adam, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Thanks, Jim.
Hey, Adam, you currently reside in the LA area, but that wasn't always the case. Tell us where you grew up and what life was like for you as a young lad.
Well, let's see. Where do I begin? It all started. Where's the harp music? Do I get a dream segment here?
Yeah, we've got that too.
Awesome. It all started back. I was growing up in New Jersey, and that's pretty much where I spent the first 8 years of my life in and around Princeton and Paterson, South Orange, New Jersey.
Now, what were your interests growing up?
Let's see. It was always music. My parents got me an upright piano when I was about 4 years old. And so I was just the kind of kid that would run home and, you know, bang on the piano notes. It was just always, music was just always a thing with me, singing and playing piano.
Now, your father passed away when you were just 8 years old, is that right?
Yes, yes.
How did that, even though you were pretty young at the time, how did that impact your life?
It was, you know, a very sad time, obviously. He died of cancer when I was like 8 years old, and I really didn't get to understand what was going on, because I think grown-ups, as I like to refer to them now, were very much of the mindset where they didn't want kids my age to suffer. And they felt that, you know, partaking in somebody being so sick, even though it was my dad, you know, wouldn't be the best thing for me. So it was sort of like, remember that movie Life is Beautiful, where the Holocaust is going on?
And, right.
Yeah, and the dad's trying to make it all okay for the kid. That's kind of what everybody did for me when I was growing up, when my dad got sick. And you know, luckily it was fast for him. He didn't suffer for a long time, but you know, there was a painful period where he was suffering with pancreatic cancer. So it happened rather quickly, and you know, right after he passed away, my mother thought, you know, well, this would be a good time, you know, for her and I to move to Miami, which is where her parents were, my grandparents.
Now, you eventually moved from Miami to Los Angeles to go to college. You studied music at USC.
Yes, yeah, music composition. I wanted to go to California more than anything, you know, mainly because it was far away. And the second reason, I heard they had a great music and arts program at the University of Southern California. So that was a dream of mine, you know, to head out west. I think after seeing the I Love Lucy show where they actually drive to California, that's when I decided that's where I wanted to go. I thought, you know, my life is just completely based on reality.
Did you end up lighting your nose on fire while you were out there?
You know, not in the past couple of weeks, but along those lines, sure. I'll do anything for applause. I'll, you know, that's the truth.
Now, when you were in L.A., you became the musical director for the stage performance of the classic TV game show, What's My Line, Live on Stage.
Ah, yes.
Tell us about that experience.
Well, that was a terrific meeting. J. Keith Van Stratton is a very, very funny guy, and a mutual friend of ours hooked us up, and turned out that he wanted somebody to do the live music for his show. And at first, it wasn't the What's My Line show. It was just a talk show that took place live in the theater. And I became the onstage music guy for this show. And it was just, it was so much fun because it was mixing comedy and music live on stage for people in Los Angeles. And it was an absolute blast because he let me do almost whatever I wanted to do. You know, and that was terrific because all the musical cues, all of the stings would be very much on the fly. I wouldn't rehearse anything. You know, I sort of fancied myself as this sort of Paul Schaefer, Doc Severinsen, you know, cool music dude on the stage. So I tried to keep it as you know, as real and organic and honest as I could and stay in the moment, but at the same time honor, you know, the guests and at least be aware of musically what they were involved with.
Well, one of the highlights of What's My Line Live on Stage occurred when none other than singer-songwriter Paul Williams appeared as a mystery guest, and he was rather taken aback when Adam played one of Paul's most obscure but bubbly songs.
Excellent. How about just one more, Adam? Another classic song.
What would they sing?
Wow! How do you know? Nobody knows that.
That's great. Thank you, Adam. That's great. Thank you, Adam. That's great. Thank you, Adam. Okay,
Adam.
Thank you, Adam. Thank
Nobody
you.
Knows that song, Adam. Adam. That's so kind of you.
What is that? What is that poem, Adam?
You're amazing.
Wait for this. Watch this.
Now, unfortunately, whoever the audio guy was, he didn't have the foresight to mic you. I don't know what's going on with that.
Well, no. That was all part of Keith's plan to keep me in the dark. you know, anybody who had to share the spotlight with him, cut the mic.
Adam, tell us what we couldn't hear in that clip.
Well, now that I completely remember because Paul Williams, I mean, please, I've loved him for years, and there was a movie I was mentioning that was on television when I was growing up, and of course, I don't think any of your listeners will know this, but it was called The Boy in the Plastic Bubble, and it starred John Travolta.
That's right.
From his, you know, Saturday Night Fever years, so he was very young, and it was an awesome movie, you know, where this guy had to live in a bubble and he couldn't come out, and I think they remade it, and maybe it wasn't as good, but that movie rocked. I mean, I was a huge fan of Travolta, and I remember, you know, seeing that movie, and there was a song on it called What Would They Say If They Up and Ran Away, and It was written by Paul Williams. So when I found out Paul was going to be the mystery guest, of course I had to play that for him, because of course nobody's going to know that song, because I'm the only kook bag that saw that movie, you know, and remembers that it was a Paul Williams song because I did research. So when I played it, Paul sort of flipped out, which was so cool. And to show how honest I was, I actually brought the album of John Travolta singing that song, and Paul was nice enough to sign the album, and
wow.
I put it up on eBay, made a fortune. So really, it was all very exciting. You know, what can I tell you? It was great.
Well, Adam, we're going to have to take a little break from our fascinating journey, but never fear. I'll be back in a lightning flash with singer, songwriter, and author of the book Smother, the story of a man, his mom, and the thousands of letters she's mailed him, Adam Chester, who is traveling with us on the TV Time Machine.